You're listening to Personal Branding Exposed with Megan McNeil. Each episode, we'll explore different areas of personal branding and how you can build, maintain, and leverage off your own personal brand. Here's your host, Megan.
Morning, everyone. Today, I've got the lovely Vicky with me, who is my money lady. And we're going to be chatting about her career, how she's ended up in accountants, why she is the money lady, and also, you know, what she thought she was going to be doing when she was younger. So, hey, Vicky, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Megan. Thank you for having me.
So, Vicky, you are the money lady or the numbers lady. You are an Excel spreadsheets superstar. You know your accounts inside out, all a million of them, because I've had plenty of conversations with you about that. Tell me, when you were in school, did you have a love of numbers and money way back then?
I did. So I loved math. I loved the accounting units and I loved the English classes. Those were the only things I could care about. If I had a choice, that was the only three subjects I would do in school. All the rest, I had to be there. So I'd just rock up to class and sit around and go like, oh, what's the use of all of this crap? So yes, definitely. I was like straight A student in those three units and then the rest,
That's so funny. And but did you think you'd be an accountant, or what was the kind of trajectory at that point?
I think I always wanted to have a shoe shop. That's kind of what I wanted to do. I remember last day of school, like I said to Dad, all right, cool, I want to go out and have a shoe shop. And he said to me, no, you go to uni, and after that, if you want to have a shoe shop, you can have a shoe shop. So I had no idea, went to uni, was like, oh, what do I do? Oh, this economics and financial planning thing looks interesting. Looks like something I can do.
Said and no so one else.
So I did that. And 3 years after I finished, I was like, the final exam, I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I was like, what do I do now? So I did accounting, went back and did accounting for a year, and then came out and started working in accounting. That was kind of my long way to get there.
So bring me back to the shoe shop. What kind of shoe shop? Why shoes?
I love shoes. I have a little shoe shop in my house.
I was going to say, you probably do.
Mom's favorite question is like, how many shoes do you have now? I absolutely love them. I had this fancy idea back then, which someone else has created already. But I thought, oh, cool, I'll run a shoe shop. I absolutely love it. Like the idea of going out and picking the shoes to, you know, sell, like the buyer role,
yep,
just fascinated me. I was just like, yeah, love, love, love shoes.
So do you think one day you might still do that?
I think now, being an accountant, looking at competition, you know, and all the rest of the stuff, the overheads of having an actual physical shop. I mean, I can do it online. I don't think I would right now. So probably uni put like sense into me and went like, maybe not.
So you're just going to stick to your shoe shop at home.
I just keep buying shoes.
So when you decided to be an accountant, is it a bit like when you're a lawyer and you decide what kind of accountant you're going to be? Or is it very general and then you start niching down once you get into the big bad world?
So that's an interesting question. At uni, you cover a lot. You cover like management, financial, auditing, tax, you cover all of that. And then I did not actually realize when I came out that I had all these options. So I just applied to every job on Seek and basically got the first role, and it was tax. And that's how I ended up in tax. I knew I never wanted to be an auditor. So that was one thing I did not, I knew that part. And I knew that was a very specific role, that you'd apply for a role as an auditor as opposed to an accountant, and it could possibly be a tax role or a financial role or management role. So yeah, coming back to like, I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. I just did everything at uni and then went out and was like, cool, I'll apply on Seek and see what I get. In saying that, now because I teach at uni, I always share that with students. I always go like, if you were like me and you have no idea, there's all these different avenues that you can actually pick from. So, you know, if you know that, then you probably narrow down your search a little bit more than me.
Yeah, because you don't think about that, because my friend Nicole, who's also an accountant, when you know, it comes to tax time, me and Leslie will always be like, so can we claim this? Can we claim that? And she's like, I've got no idea. I'm an auditor. I don't even do my own tax. And you just don't, you think accountant. Accountants know everything to do with money. But it's like every discipline, you have your niche, you have your speciality.
Yeah. The underlying thing with accounting is legislation. So I always say to my clients, everything, I'm like, guys, every decision we make has some sort of legislation behind it. So, you know, tax, for instance, like if you're not a tax accountant, you won't necessarily know or remember all of those legislation, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I think that's what's really hard, especially when you've got small businesses and, you know, we encourage people to outsource as quickly as they can. And a lot of the time we replace ourselves and then we try and get into the back room and, you know, sort out the accounts. And really, there's a reason why you go to uni for 4 years to learn all of that stuff. It's not, you know, basic bookkeeping. Yeah, okay, you understand a spreadsheet and you can get around zero. You can do some stuff.
Understand income, expenses, easy enough. Yeah.
Yeah, but as soon as your business actually starts taking off and there's got to start paying tax, you've got payroll and you've got BAS. And oh, I mean, I know that every like quarter when I get different things coming in, I'm like, what's this for?
It's like paper overload.
You're like, what this time? What am I signing for this time?
So you just blindly sign?
I'm like, oh, it does look like I spent that. Yeah, okay, I'll sign that.
No, you're right. It's a lot to take in. There's a lot of things. I mean, I don't remember everything. If you've seen the tax legislation, it's this big. And yeah. I get ATO updates every week, or this, you know, this has been changed. This case has come up. So things are changing all the time. So, you know, you could do the basics like bookkeeping these days, like the softwares that are really user-friendly and all of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, clients will call me and go like, someone hasn't paid me. How do I write it off? Can I just delete the invoice? I'm like, no.
Don't delete anything.
No, delete. Avoid that button.
Well, we've got lots of people tuning in today. We've got Jackie and Lauren. And
hi, Jackie.
Dalon. Dalon's all the way from Canada. But yeah, Lauren's similar to me. Well, Lauren is into personal branding like I am, but she's also saying accounts were the first thing that she outsourced. And it was the exact same for me. You know, I make things frilly, and I know how to spend money, but I've got no idea what to do with it in the back end. And that's actually a conversation that you and I had just a couple of weeks ago. You know, you're sitting looking at your bank account and you see this money in there, but you've got no idea how much of that's actually my money. You know, if I was to pull the whole lot out, am I okay? I wasn't taking into consideration like what percentage of that is for tax and how much is going to go to super and BAS and all these different things. And you know, I was really I was very happy after my chat with Vicky, because she was explaining to me about my P&L. Maybe you can actually talk a little bit about what it is people need to be looking for when you're looking at your bank accounts. What's really yours?
Okay, don't be, I guess there's two things you need to separate: budgets and cash flow. They're never going to match up necessarily. So I'll give you an example. Clients will come to me at the end of the year and I'll say, oh, you had 100 grand taxable income or profit, and basically you're going to have to pay, say, $26,000 tax if it's a business, small business. And they go to me, but I don't have 100 grand in my bank account. And I'm like, yeah, nah.
Not anymore.
Like, so are you sure the profit's right? And I'm like, yeah. So the thing is, there's a huge difference there. So you may or may not have the same amount of money in your bank because of timing difference. So say, for instance, you raise an invoice and you've got $10,000 sales. The client hasn't paid you. All of a sudden, your profit and loss is looking amazing. You've got $10,000 there, but your bank account's zero. So if you think of a brand new business starting, you raise your first invoice, you raise it for $10,000, your profit's going to show $10,000 for that month, and your bank account is zero. And you're going like, do I have $10,000? Can I spend $10,000? Of course not. The person hasn't paid you. So that is the timing difference. Is usually people haven't paid you. You haven't paid some bills. There are bills in the pipeline. The ATO bills are not paid. The ATO bills are coming. So that's the huge difference there. So when you have money in the bank account, don't get excited and spend it.
It's not
because
all yours.
It still probably has to be utilized for future bills. What you want to do is actually create a budget, like understand how much am I getting for that month? How much do I have going out? And then give yourself a set amount. That's what I would suggest. Give yourself a set amount so you don't over underspend. And then every, you know, couple of months, 6 months, once a year, you could pay yourself a dividend, you know, that bonus that you deserve.
Yeah, and that's really good, actually. And then I think you either get people that go one way where they're overly cautious and they leave absolutely everything in the bank account and wonder why they've got no money. And then you've got the others who just rip it all out because they're like, there's money in there. There must be money in there.
Yeah. If you're not thinking forward, like, for instance, your BAS bill will come around every 3 months and, you know, that's $3,000 or $4,000. If you've spent for a small business, that's a huge bill. So if you spent a lot of the money, where are you going to get the money from? And straight away, you're two steps behind. Yep. And then it just keeps happening that way. And then the big tax bill comes at the end of the year. So, yeah, definitely keep aside money for tax, BAS, as well as, like, you know, try and stop the drawings, which is mean. Give yourself a set amount. I know we all deserve a lot more as business owners, but give yourself somewhat of a set amount and then analyze the business on the whole with your accountant and then give yourself that nice little bonus of dividend.
Yeah, that was good advice you gave me recently as well, actually, was, you know, I was taking set amounts, you know, when I thought I needed it at home, whereas what you said to me to do was, well, no, just fortnightly or weekly, whatever it is, just make sure it's the same consistently, because then you know what it is you need. Whereas I look at, like, you know, what we're doing in our personal life, and I'm like, oh, well, we want to go on a holiday now. Oh, well, I'll pull this over because we want to pay for it, type thing. And it's not the best way to manage your money. And I don't manage my money personally like that. So why in my business am I? And I guess you get a little bit confused because it feels like sometimes it feels like, well, that's my money, it's my business. And other times it feels like, oh, it's not my money, it's the business's money. So
technically it is two different. So if you're running, for instance, a company or trust, it is a different entity's money. So you're not, like, meant to just help yourself to it to an extent. The consequences is a tax bill. So it's not me and me. It's me and the company or the trust or whatever you're trading in. The trouble you could get into is if you pull out too much, depending on the entity you're in, you could end up with a huge tax bill. So it's just a different way of keeping yourself in check, I guess. Giving yourself a salary.
Yes. And like you said, a tax bill is good because it means you're making money.
Exactly. Why not? Well, I love paying my tax.
I know.
I'm a tax accountant, though.
I've never heard anyone say that as much as you have. And I love it. And it really changed my mindset when you said that to me, because I was like, yeah, you're right. If I don't pay tax, then it's because I've not got anything. I didn't make anything. Whereas, you know, every time I get my tax bill now or my BAS and stuff, I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's good because there's money coming in. I'm making a profit. Exactly. It means it's working.
And also, I think the different mindset is when you're working for someone, it's already done in the background, so you don't feel as bad, I guess. But when it's your own, you've got that choice to do it. Think about it as well, right? If you're paying BAS or tax as you go, you're only doing it every 3 months, whereas in your pays, you're doing it every fortnight. So I always think, like, hey, I've got that money for extra 3 months in my bank account. You know, it's not huge. We're not earning huge interest or anything, but I just think, like, 3 extra months is supposed to, if I was getting a salary from someone, they'd take it out every 2 weeks or every week, however often they pay you. So I always see, how can my money work for me?
Yeah, well, that's what my dad always said. It's better in your bank than someone else's. So
100%, yeah.
The longer you can keep it. So, Vicky, how long have you had Glide Accountancy now?
I'd say full-time 2 years.
Yep.
Yeah, can't remember. Yeah, but it feels like 2 years. That's full-time.
Oh, we need to know exactly so we can have a celebration.
I'll find out the date.
I was trying to...
somewhere around July, I think, because I went away on holidays and came back and was like, woof, I've got to do this business now.
Oh, so you came in like at the end of financial year time. Great timing.
No, right? Everything smashed. Woof.
Even as
processes.
Yeah, even as a non-money person, I'm like, that doesn't seem like the smartest move.
No. I had no I literally came back from a holiday 3 weeks away and I was just like, oh cool, now I've got to run the business. I was like, cool. This is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, you were all energized. You went on a holiday, came back, and you did something silly. Yeah, no, we've all been there. But what did push you into starting your own business?
Couple of reasons. I think after a few years, I've really realized me as a person, I love doing it my way. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I've actually come to accept, that working for someone was just never going to work for me. So I'd always, you know, get upset after a while, get disappointed. I'm really dedicated. I'll give you my 150%. But Yeah. So after a while, it just made you go like, oh, why am I doing this for someone else? So that was the main driving factor, like going like, why am I doing this for someone else when I can do it for myself, my way, and know that I could help more people. And that satisfaction of helping someone in your own business is 10 times more than when you're doing it for someone else's business. So yeah, the passion was like, okay. Also, the other thing was I was doing it for other business owners and was doing it for a different client set. Set of clients, I should say, and I wanted to help small business owners. So yeah. I grew up in the family business, seeing what dad's business and, you know, him doing it right meant to us as a family. Yeah. And I thought, hey, I could change families' lives helping them out. So obviously a lot of people struggle with numbers. They've got a bit of a block towards numbers. So I was like, how can I change that? How can I get them to understand that it's not bad? It's actually fun. Like, it's literally going like, this is how much I want to pay myself. So this is how I'm going to work. This is what I'm going to do to achieve that. So that was where the passion came from. Obviously, one, my personality. Number two, just being able to help more people the way I wanted to help them. So also taking out that, I mean, that formality around accounting, I think. I rock up to work with jeans like most days. You know, so it's just, you know, let's just talk about it. It's not formal. I'm not in a suit. Let's just work it out together. We're two business owners having a chat. So I love that. Drives me every day. I'm more than happy to work all day if I know that's what I'm achieving for people.
Yeah, and I actually, what you've just said there about helping small businesses and what it means for their families and stuff like that, that was actually what I took away from our session a couple of weeks ago, was the fact that you didn't just look at my business accounts and tell me this is what I needed to do for the business. You equated it to my real life, which yep. gave it real relevance and made it real, and I could actually understand it. Because, yeah, I think there is a real disconnect sometimes, that bank account, this bank account, what's really mine? What can I do with it? Whereas putting it like that, it really helped. Like I said, it was a mindset shift, which most great things are. You know, all of a sudden you get a light bulb moment. You go, oh, that's what everyone was talking about. That's really interesting, because I haven't seen many accountants bringing it into the real world, into your real life quite like that, which I think is your unique selling point.
Yeah, thank you. It is your business is going to impact your family, and the good and the bad. You know, yep. the long hours are going to impact your family, the profits, the investment into it, everything's affecting your personal life and your family and everything else. And I think we just need to look at it as a whole. And I think if you remember why you're doing it as well, and, you know, the benefits that it's going to give you as a whole, you know, that's kind of the reason.
Now, I also want to talk to you about when I first met you, be over a year ago now, because it was just about COVID, about when COVID started. And you were very, very like, oh, no, you didn't have any pictures of you up on your Instagram or anything. Whereas things have really changed. And was that a mindset shift thing for you as well, where all of a sudden you were like, well, I am the business, I need to have the face of it? Or was it gradual? Like, what happened that made you go, yep, it's my business?
When I spoke to you, I was just like, why would anyone want to see my face? Just, you know, I'll give you the information. Don't need to see my face. I don't love it still. So, it is hard. But someone said something to me that initially really hurt my feelings. And they were like, who are you? Like, you know, people are going to look for you and there's nothing of you out there. You know, they want to connect with the person, not just the facts that they can Google anyhow. So I was just like, why are you so rude? No other accountants, like, you know, stuffing around, dancing on reels or doing anything exciting like that. I'm just another accountant. But then that made me think. I was fuming about it for about a week. I was just like, how rude, and like all of that stuff. And when I started thinking about it, I spoke to a couple of friends and they were like, you know what, what's different? Put your face out there with the facts, with the tax knowledge. And then I was like, okay, cool. I spoke to someone in marketing, which obviously then she helps me out with, you know, some of the Instagram stuff and things like that. And slowly she was just like, you know, let's put some facts out there. Why don't you go get a photo shoot? The photographer is actually a friend, and I've known her for probably 3 years. And I would tell her, we got to do a photo shoot. And I think she waited 3 years before we got the first one done. And that was the hardest one. I picked every picture apart, and then it started going out, and I realized that people reacted a lot more to the ones with the pictures. And that gave me the confidence and the boost. And I was like, oh, you know, no one's sort of you know, it's not negative, I guess. And so I kept doing it. And then the second photo shoot was so easy. I hardly literally, I was like, oh, cool. Everything's cool. Let's just put it out there. Who cares? No one's picking you apart. No one's judging you. Let's go. So that was kind of like mindset, I guess, speaking to a couple of people, someone saying something that really, you know, I guess affected me. And then I thought about it in a positive light and went like, oh no, that's true. It's changed the business.
I hope you thanked them after that.
I wasn't going to do it that week.
No, I bet not. That's pretty cool because, well, you know that I'm all about the face. Like your logo is your face and it's the best logo you'll ever have. And I remember the first post I saw of yours with your face on it and I was like,
now I know what you look like.
This is you.
Not a model, not a stand-in.
No, you are. You're beautiful. But yeah, yes, but then we bumped into each other in the Swan Valley. And if you hadn't put those pictures out, I wouldn't have even recognized you. So
exactly. That's it. Right. I remember that actually, because I obviously recognized you. And then I was like, I said hi and you recognized, you remembered me. And I was like, oh yeah, but we'd never met before that. We'd only chatted on the phone. So it's socials.
Yep, exactly. But we recognized each other because we used our logos and we got them out there. So there was, and I think that's really important. So that was obviously a casual catch up. We just bumped into each other in the Swan Valley. But that's the beauty of it when you go to a networking event. It's so hard walking into a new room where you don't know anyone. But if you've already broken that barrier where you recognize a few faces so you can go up to them and the other way around, people actually recognize you and go, oh, Vicky, I've been watching your stuff on tax and, you know, I've been learning bits and pieces. You break the ice straight away, which I think is so much easier in the real world, which is the power of online. I mean, I don't think you'll ever beat face-to-face connection. Like we've tried to replicate it. Zoom's great. You know, COVID's kind of pushed us in that direction. But face-to-face, you just can't get that connection like you can in real life. But it just shortcuts it if we're a little bit more familiar with the face in front of us.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. And I'll take it back to how I run the business in a way. Some people say to me, oh, individual tax returns, for instance, like, why can't you just do it over a Zoom call or get someone to upload some documents? I always try and meet the client the first time at least. Like, even if they're busy and stuff, I'm like, can we just try and meet the first time? That relationship that I build with that person, it's more real than just going, hey, send me your payment summary, send me your, you know, deductions, whatever that is. It's so much better. I think that's kind of what the whole business is built on that I'm really proud of, that face-to-face connection, that connection you build in person. Yeah. And then, you know, even if they don't see you every year after that, you already know who the person is, you know, if you connect and all of that stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, we're really lucky over here because we're still able to do that. But, you know, you've got to improvise a little bit, I guess, depending on whereabouts in the world you are.
100%. Exactly. Yep.
But it's good when you've got, you know, your personality shines through on your socials and stuff. And it's the same with lawyers. Accountants and lawyers, they're dry. They're really hard subjects. They're the sort of things that we need in our businesses, but we kind of go, oh, we'll just ignore this for a little while because it's too hard basket. So I think being able to break it down, you know, you've got a friendly face, you're breaking down some myths. I love when you do your polls and stuff like that, where I'm kind of going, I know the answer. And then I get a big red mark. And I'm like, I don't really know the answer. But, you know, it's educating people in a slow drip feed way, which, you know, are you going to get a client from every poll you do? Of course not. But after, you know, a certain amount of time when someone's really stuck, of course you are, because you've built up that rapport and that trust with someone. And I think that's super important.
Definitely is. Yeah, definitely. So obviously right now it's more like, you know, you've got that platform to obviously build, get people to see you, get to know who you are and all of that stuff. I obviously have the ability to do a lot more and I need to do a lot more, but it is definitely a way to build that connection with people. And then they might, you know, come around and see you and then you actually build more of a connection.
Yeah, well, I think everyone should do a bit more, but at the same time, doing something is better than nothing. Done is better than perfect. You know, even if you're getting a post out once a week and it's got your face on it, just that drip feed where people are actually seeing you, it means you don't disappear. You're front of mind, so that when someone turns around and says, oh, I need someone to do my tax. Oh, I keep seeing this girl. Let me look it up. And, you know, you're the person that they send along. But it's also given you some other opportunities as well. You've got a couple of speaking opportunities and on a panel. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so I have a couple. So first one was like, obviously I got invited to do an IGTV with someone last week or 2 weeks ago. So that was amazing. Alicia's like in the budget space as well. So it's something we both absolutely love, her more personal budgets and me more business. So I did that. And you sent me the invite and I was like, woohoo. And in July, we're doing Act Like a Boss. So there are a couple of girls in there, business coach, personal stylist, confidence gurus, myself and some marketing ladies. And so we're all going. I think if you look at all that lineup, it's very much supporting a small business owner. It's everything you need in the business. Numbers, confidence, mindset, business coach, and obviously marketing, which is a huge part in any business in this day and age. And so, yeah, I know a couple of the girls through some networking that I've done, some memberships and networking thing that I've done. And they are, Crystal, who's running the whole thing, she's asked me and I was like, oh, cool, yeah. I thought it was going to be a room of 20 people. And, she, you know, I thought like, oh, yeah, 10, 15 minutes, 20 people, all good. Next thing I know, the ad comes up and I'm looking at the lineup going like, okay. And then she's like, I'm aiming for like, you know, 100 odd people or something. I'm going like, okay, what did I agree to? I'll ask more questions next time. But I think it's going to be amazing. I think it is going, people are going to benefit from it. So it's a little bit of a snippet of like, hey, you want to run a business? You're running a business. This is everything you will need in bite sizes.
Yeah, and then go and find more of it. You know, it gives everyone a taster. And you've got some speaking opportunities as well for speaking to groups, more private stuff as well.
Yes. So another lady is running a marketing campaign for a couple of like a private marketing campaign. What do I want? Sorry. So teaching a couple of business owners about marketing. And she said, can you come in and obviously have a chat to them about numbers? Which is obviously backbone of all every business. So I was like, yes, love it. Let's do it. So I'll be doing that next week. And so that's really exciting as well. I wrote two programs over Christmas. That's how I spent my Christmas. and so I've got one that's basically written for small business owners starting up. I don't assume you know anything. I just share it with you so you actually get all that knowledge and then go away and, you know, implement it in your business. Most times it's not even implementing. Most times I get the feedback that they walk away and they feel like every question they had, every doubt they had was sort of answered. So it's about making you feel like, hey, you have done everything right, or the ones that you haven't done, let's do it now. And you know, you can go away and just concentrate on your business as opposed to going like, did I need to register for something more? Should I register for GST? What is GST? Like none of those questions. We leave going, we know what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. Anyone who's listening or watching, and you might have an accountant or a bookkeeper that you already work with, but having a session with Vicky for an hour, hour and a half, where she just goes through your business is beyond beneficial. I rave a lot about it because I just think that Vicky just puts it into just so simple. There's, like you said, there's no fluff, there's like no business suit. It's just very much you and Vicky sitting there going through what's actually important to you, as opposed to just looking at the numbers. And she really kind of brings them off the pages and kind of like, well, what does it actually mean in the real world for you? Not just, okay, don't worry, you're making a profit, because we all want to make a profit, but what does it mean?
What does it mean?
A dollar profit versus $100 is, you know, very different. Although we want millions of dollars, we're working for millions of dollars. So yes, that, I think it's brilliant, and I think that you've done an amazing job building your personal brand. Because I've got to say that, because that is my jam, and I know how kind of reluctant you were about a year ago, going, no, I'm just gonna keep with the nice colors and my grid on Instagram. It'll be fine. To put yourself out there, and the massive changes that it's made, you know, the people that you're now in front of, the opportunities that you get, and more importantly, like, as great as it is for you and your business, it's amazing for everyone else's business that's able to get that information from you, because they now know that you're there, which is what's really important. So Vicky, how can everyone who's listening go and find you? Where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on the website glideaccounting.com.au. Instagram is obviously a great platform to you for you to go pick up a couple of different things. You can find it under Glide Accounting. Search Glide Accounting of Vicky Krishnamurthy. That might be a bit of a struggle, but Glide Accounting will get you there. Those two platforms are probably the biggest ones, like my website and Instagram, and then contact me through there, or, you know, you've got my number everywhere, basically on the website, on Instagram. Just reach out, even if you're unsure of what you're not sure of, like, if I may say, if you're not sure, hey, do I know everything? Reach out. I'm more than happy to jump on a call with you 15, 20 minutes and have a chat and discover what's going on. I think my biggest thing with all the stuff that I write is I'm not trying to, it's not a sale that I'm achieving. It's about making sure that you are comfortable in running your business, because I can keep that information. You can get it wrong, you know, and then I can help you fix it. And that's, you know, beneficial for me, but that's not the point. It's about getting it right from the start. And then you can go away and do what you're passionate about, knowing that all the groundwork, all the legislation, all the registrations are tick, tick, tick.
Yes, 100%. If you're looking to outsource, stop outsourcing yourself. Don't replicate yourself. Go and get the skills that you actually need. Go and get yourself a Vicky. Go and get Vicky.
I had to learn that in my business as well. I was just like, hey, if something's too hard and it's taking too much time, I can outsource it and then go and work that time and obviously earn more money working in my own business, doing what I want to do, as opposed to trying to figure out. Initially, I think first day, it took me 2 hours or 3 hours to figure out how to do something on Canva. Like, you know, I'm just not set out that way. So I was just like, oh my gosh, why is this so hard? Then I figured, you know what, like, I could have earned a lot more money in my business and outsourced a certain amount of things. So
I hear you. Yeah, that's me on zero. You put me on Canva, 10 minutes done, and you put me on zero and I'm like
oh thank you, Jackie.
Everyone does need a Vicky. Everyone also needs a Jackie, because Jackie will help you get confidence on camera.
I'm That's chatting to Jackie on Thursday.
That's why we're so confident and comfortable here sitting on camera. And you can actually catch Jackie's episode, which was a while ago, but it's on YouTube as well. Vicky, thank you so much. If you're not following Vicky already, get onto Glide Accountancy on Instagram or on her website. And she's on LinkedIn as well, reluctantly, but she's on there. And thank you so much, Vicky.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan. You have a good day and I will speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to Personal Branding Exposed. If you enjoyed this episode or any of the others, then please listen to some more, but also share it with your friends and leave a review. I'm a pretty new podcast, so that means quite a lot for me, and I really appreciate your kind words. Social media, if you have any feedback or you just want to chat, really, send me a message. I'm normally found on Instagram or LinkedIn. They're where I like to hang out, but I do have Facebook if that's your thing. And also on the website, you can get my details there and you can get in touch. Thank you so much for getting this far. If you want a little bit more though, these episodes actually go out live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Western Standard Time here in Western Australia at 8 p.m. which, if you're in Canada or America, that'll be first thing in the morning for you, so you can listen over your morning coffee. And if you're in the UK, it'll be over your lunch break. I speak to these amazing people every single Tuesday, and they just expose their personal brands to us. They tell us what makes them tick, what motivates them. We hear their stories of where they've come from and where they are now and how they got there. There's loads you can take from this, lots of motivation and inspiration. Like, these people are awesome and they really niche down. They know what it is that they're doing, so there's so much to take away from them. I have got this amazing lineup of people coming up, so make sure it's in your diary, 8 p.m. Western Standard Time, and the podcast drops every Wednesday. Till next time.